one after if you're going to see your mom later. I want to carry on talking about mothers and honoring mothers, but hopefully offer some encouragement to mothers and to all of us, because I think there's so many amazing examples we see in mothers that are really just great examples for us as sisters in the Lord that can encourage us and challenge us too. So I wanted to do that this morning. When I wrote a little note to Whitney, and I just wrote down every role I could think of that she plays in our home. It wasn't intended necessarily to be a Proverbs 31 list, I'll admit. It was just trying to think of everything she does, some of the things that she does that I really don't like doing. So I put chef, baker. As I look around, I think I just knowing some of the moms and the things you're into, there's things that are probably you could add to your list. Chef, baker, shopper, cleaner. That would be cleaner of home and children. Launderer and folder of laundry, teacher, chauffeur, doctor, listening ear, comforter. I heard caretaker a few times up on this, so I added that because that's true. Hairdresser, cheerleader and encourager, instructor, giver of discipline, counselor, tooth puller. That is a really important one. I really have, it just makes me so gross to pull teeth. She does that. Gardener in our home. So the list could go on, but I put down all the things that I could think of, and so many of them that I'm grateful for. And I was thinking about, even she shared it, the example of how no one knew who, everybody knows, you know, these different people, and we're putting these pictures up. It's an endorsement of these people, obviously. It's just the point that there's somebody behind the scenes so often that is an incredible support. Just the person wouldn't be there without that person behind the scenes, in this case, a mother. And I was thinking of that when Paul talks about the body of Christ, and he talks about the different gifts that are there, and how every person has a part to play. Some people are it's very obvious what their part is, and some people, their part in the body of Christ, you never see, but without it, the body wouldn't function. And I think mums, in so many ways, that's true, right? Like, no one sees what happens, because so much of it happens within the home, not visible to others. So I'm not, some of you are going to know this, I have a question for you. Who knows, just as an example, an analogy, who knows what the liver does? Anybody? You don't have to tell me what it does. I see one hand go up. Raise your hand if you know what the liver does. There's a very small number of people in the room that actually know what the liver does. And I wouldn't be raising my hand either. So I looked it up. The liver cleans your blood, helps with digestion by breaking down fats, stores energy and releases it when you need it, makes important proteins. Can you live without the liver? No, you can't live without the liver. Similarly, the kidney. Right, there's another one we all know of, the kidney. Kidney, probably maybe a few more people would raise their hand. It filters blood, does other things too, but that's one of the primary things. Can you live without the kidney? Not without, man has found a way, right? Dialysis and these different things, man has found a way to replicate what the kidney does, but without that, no, you can't live without the kidneys either. And I think in so many ways, you think of mothers and you say, would people be what they are without their mothers? And I would say the answer is, in so many cases, no. You know, there's cases where people grow up and they don't have a mother. And in those, it's challenging, but by the grace of God, God can intervene and God can help, right? So we don't want to say that if we don't have a mother, it's hopeless. That's not at all what we're seeing. But mothers are so, so critically important in our lives and what an incredible blessing that they are to us. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the example that mothers are. And I was thinking, man, they are an amazing, amazing example. When Jesus Christ says what it is to be a disciple, what does he say? He says, to be a disciple, we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. And so much of being a mother is denying yourself, right? I don't think there's many moms that wake up in the morning and think, what would I like to do today? I think I'd like to make breakfast, clean up breakfast, do laundry, teach the kids. You just go through the list, right? All that a mother does. That sounds like a great day. That's not what a flesh wants to do, right? it's just, I'm being practical. And yet, they do that. And so, I was thinking about it. It doesn't mean then that a mother's job is without joy. That doesn't have to be the case. But I was thinking it can be. It can be. You can meet mothers who are struggling with that because it's a time. And this is where, as in everything, every person in this room, you can think of your life. And so often I would say, I can't imagine walking through this life without Jesus Christ. And that's what can be the thing that sustains us. And so when we think about mothers and we honor mothers at the same time, I just put down this thought. I was just thinking this morning as I was thinking about mothers. And I was thinking, man, it is perhaps one of the greatest examples we see of just really just denying yourself and taking up your cross and following Jesus. But yet, how do you do it with joy? As a mother, how do you do it? So I wanted to honor you. I want to encourage you. But in that encouragement, know that everybody sitting here can be encouraged too. Like, how do we take up our cross? Because in this case, we're talking about moms. But it's true. Every one of us is called to take up our cross and deny ourselves and follow Jesus. How do we do that with joy? That was what came to my mind. What is the secret of that? Or what are the keys to that? So let's think about what is the difference between a mother who is doing all those things and is still an incredible blessing to her family, but is doing it. The danger is, in all of our lives, the danger is we're walking out the calling, perhaps, the place, we're walking in the place that God has us, but we're not full of joy. We're not full of peace. We're struggling through it. And that's not God's desire. Right? Like it even says, and I mean, it's an incredible truth. It's not that women would be saved through childbearing. That's just a reality. I would say that there's an opportunity to be saved through childbearing. And I've actually said that, you know, the reality is, aside from the very act of bearing the child, fathers can also be saved through raising children. I say that very practically. I'm not saying that as a joke, right? Because the reality is, it is an opportunity to show you everything that is in your heart. You know, it can be that crucible for silver and that furnace for gold, to just let you see what's there. And yet we have such a hope in Jesus Christ. And so how do you walk through motherhood in this case, as we think about it today, but how do we walk, each of us walk through our lives in the places that God has us, knowing that there's going to be things that are challenging and there's going to be trials? How do we do that? Just very simply, how do we do that with joy and peace and contentment? There's one way. It's through Jesus Christ, obviously. Right. But it's easy to say that, and so I wanted to just think a little bit more about that. And I was thinking, you know, it really comes back to the thing we often talk about, right? It's the very core of our walk with Jesus. It comes down to faith. Faith in what? Faith in the resurrection. Well, you're wondering how, but it's true. Because in denying yourself and taking up your cross, if all you think is, my life is full of that, that's what my life is, denying myself and taking up my cross. I just give my life for my children every day. Or I give my life, whatever your circumstance, I give my life every day. And that's what we're focused on. Then it can be perhaps a very difficult road. A challenging road, one that isn't full of encouragement or hope. But Paul said, and I come back to Romans 6, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but Paul says a couple times in there, he says, I really like this one. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That second part is so, so important. We believe that we will also live with him. This is where faith comes in. Faith that in Jesus and the Spirit of God working in your lives, that you can actually walk these things out. Even yesterday, we were driving home, and my kids have been out, and some of them have received some gum. big leaf chew comes in strands. It's very easy, one found, to distribute throughout the vehicle. And one of my children is doing that, passing out two strands for you, two strands for you, two strands for you. And they said, you know, they said, Dad, you're right. I have so much joy. I just have joy right now giving away my gum. I said, what did I say that was right? I never talked to you about giving away gum. And then Whitney just said, you know, so-and-so, it's more blessed to give than receive. And it was actually a great lesson. He was realizing he could hoard all of his big league chew to himself. But he actually was getting a lot of joy passing on. It was literally every person in the vehicle was getting big league chew. And he was learning this simple lesson of, wow, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So you can think of that in the natural sense, giving something away. But the reality is, it's actually true in our lives. When we choose, by the grace of God and with Jesus Christ, to lay our life down and to give our lives for others, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it's in that place, that's why Jesus Christ could have more joy than all, period. He said, it says of him, he had more joy than all of his companions. There's no one that had more joy in this life than Jesus Christ. And that joy is available to us. He says he shared these things with us. He says, I'm sharing these things with you in John 15, I believe it is, that he says that. He says, so that your joy may be made complete. It may be made full. Right? And that was all about just abiding in Jesus Christ, abiding in the vine, so that the fruit of Jesus Christ, which abiding in the vine, you wonder what that looks like. All of these things, a lot of times, they're different ways. I think it's very similar to just saying to a mother. Mother that says, you know what? Lord, you've called me to this. And I want to embrace it with all of my heart. And I want to be willing each day to deny myself and take up my cross, Lord. And I can't do this without you. I need you, but I believe that you are able to give me all that I need. That's what Paul said. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I believe you're able to give me all that I need to walk this out. Lord, you know there's many things that I do now as a mother that I wouldn't choose to do. But Lord, by your grace, I can do it with joy. And hope. We can do it with hope. Right? We can walk out our lives with hope as we walk that way. And all of a sudden, an opportunity presents itself to walk out this life with joy in your heart. And so that what? Because I was thinking about you. So you start with the example we have. How do you do that with joy? But then what's the ultimate desire of a mother, in this case a mother, but of a father, right? Of anyone. Anyone walk, a single person, walking with, choosing to walk with Jesus Christ and deny themselves. What is the purpose? I was just away for a week. Had a business course. You know, you spend literally, it was quite intense, 12 plus hours a day. We're going. And times I'm sitting there, I was like, you know, they talk at times, but you have purpose. It's got to be, you got to have a reason you're doing what you're doing. And it's so different when you can think about that through the lens of, yeah, what is my purpose? Why do I do what I do? What is our purpose? To bring glory to God, right? In all, whatever role, whatever, whoever you are, you're at school, you're a young person at school, you're a child in the home, you're a mother, you're a father, wherever you're at, you're a married couple going off to work each day. To bring glory to God. He's glorified when our lives bear much fruit, right? As we abide in him. So this is the hope that we have. But as a mother, what else is our hope? And let's be honest. What else is our hope? Could we say, like John said in 3 John, I believe each moment say this in this room. I have no greater joy. Or maybe you're saying it right now in hope, if you're honest. Maybe you're saying, you know what, I'm not there yet. But the hope that I have is that one day I can see my children walking in the Lord. I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the Lord. That's what John said. He was speaking spiritually, as spiritual children, people he'd led to Jesus. No greater joy than that. So I was thinking about this because obviously then, and Whitney touched on this, how do we honor our children? So those that are children, which is every one of us, to those that are children and your mother is still with us in some way. I realize some, your moms have gone to be with the Lord. If your mom knew the Lord, your mom's gone to be with the Lord and your mom knew the Lord, obviously there's still something you could say, well, what would my mom desire? And we know if your mom knew the Lord, your mom would desire the exact same things that hasn't changed, right? Is to see you walking with the Lord. But I wrote down some other notes. Some amazing verses on, actually, before we go there, I want to stop and just talk about hope a little bit longer because I wrote down some super encouraging verses. They're verses you've known, but I just want to say this. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, that was in Romans 15, 13. 1 Peter 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope, right? That in choosing each day to walk what God has called each of us to walk, but in this case talking about moms, to walk out this road that mom has called us to the Lord, sorry, has called us to, is to know that we have hope in the midst of it. It's a living hope. First of all, that hope being, Lord, change me. Just like every one of us. You're seeing all the reasons. I even thought I didn't write it in the card this morning to Whitney. Right? Because I know what her reaction would be. I can expound on her. And then she'd probably say, oh, there's so many areas I want to see. I want to change. I want to grow in. Right? Just, it's an honest response. And I would say the same thing. Oh, it's true. You know, God's helped in so many ways. And I glorify him and praise him for that. But there's still so many things I see that I want to grow in as being a father. And yet we have hope that that actually can change. God, you can continue to change me. So our walk with the Lord, walk as a mother, is filled with hope. Hope just even in our own personal lives. Right? We can, actually, it says we can abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing his power to work in our lives. And then it says, here, this is a familiar one, maybe different context, not one you'd expect for a Mother's Day morning, but it says in Titus 2, 11 to 14, it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men and women, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. We can be looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And I take that as something that we can be thinking of when Jesus Christ actually comes and we go to spend eternity with him. But we can just long for it every day. And so, Lord, today as I spend time with the kids and or do whatever God has you doing, Lord, let there be an appearing of Jesus Christ in my life. Some change in me. Excuse me. And so we can have this hope. And he says in Hebrews 6, the author of Hebrews says, Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters within the. What is he talking about in that passage? The hope being of a God that fulfills his promises. And that's the hope we have as an anchor of the soul, is Jesus Christ. And that all the promises that are written in God's word, that they are true and that they can be an anchor. The last thought, and then I'm going to talk about how do we respond to moms. I want to give this encouragement. I was thinking about it. I haven't shared about running in a while, so I'll just weave in a slight running analogy. Just because you don't want you to think I forgot about running. 100-yard dash marathon. Which one is the job of a mother? There was a race this past weekend, actually. We're going to go like extreme ultra marathon called the Cocodona 250. 250 miles. That's motherhood right there, I think. It's a long journey. It really actually probably never ends. Obviously, you have this band when the children are young and then they become teenagers and I'm not there yet, but I know I can observe from others here. Obviously, it changes how your the challenges and the way that you're parenting, all these things. You're always learning and growing. But in the midst of it, you have to have hope and you have to have endurance. Because there are days as a parent, I'm going to just say this generally as a parent, you could lose heart if you just focused on what you're seeing, what lies in front of you. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we walk with hope that, Lord, as I... This thing of the battle belongs to the Lord. And so we fight this battle, especially I see it even now as my children get a little bit older, that we fight this battle. Fight this battle on my knees, proverbially speaking. But we fight it in prayer. And obviously crying out too that God will give us wisdom, Lord. How do I handle this situation? Because, and he's a giver of wisdom to those that ask. But it is one of a persevering and an enduring, right? And we continue to persevere and endure. We may not see what we're hoping to see yet, but we continue to press on in this role of being a mother and a parent. And it's true in our own, like all of these things are analogous to the single brother who's sitting here or whatever it is, because it's true in our lives. We could be going through it in our own lives and saying, Lord, I don't see the change that I want to see yet. And just say, Lord, I'm going to keep persevering. I'm going to believe that you are able to do, Lord, what you said you're able to do. So we have hope in Jesus Christ as we deny ourselves and take up our cross. How do we respond? That was the last thing. And I know Whitney touched on this, and these are obvious things. She already talked about the verse about children obeying your parents. As a child listening right now to my children, you already heard this. You can express your gratitude to your mother in a great way by just simply obeying. It's an incredible, incredible blessing. I don't think you realize how much of a blessing it is until you're a parent. And you get both things. You ask a child to do something, and they don't respond. They don't do it. And then the times that they're just like, sure, I can help with that. It's like, wow, that's so nice. When they just say, sure, I can help with that. Versus the time when they don't. Right? So just the simple thing of, and learning to not just obey, but to honor them. I was thinking about the simple verse that says, give thanks always. What does it say? Yeah. Rejoice always. Give thanks. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Right? Just the simple thought of saying thank you. Mother's Day, I was thinking, Mother's Day is kind of like Easter to me. We celebrate Easter. Or people will celebrate Easter. And yet, in my heart, I think we'd all say, you know what? I want to have the same gratitude every day of the year for what Jesus Christ has done for me. And so that's why I analogize that, because Mother's Day, we honor mothers, and it's great to have a day where we honor mothers. And yet at the same time, in my heart, I'm like, Lord, I want to have that same heart attitude to honor my mom, honor my wife, every day of the year, not just on this one day. Right? We can have that same heart attitude. And so as a child, that's a great thing. I've already talked about the verse. If you want to, you'll hear this. You hear this all the time. What is most children's greatest desire? So often you'll hear, I just want to make my mom or dad proud. So many children, that's so, you just see it. People will break down, they'll become incredibly emotional because they, you know, or somebody's parent has passed on, and then somebody will say to them, oh, your dad would have been so proud of you. And that's it, the waterworks started. And they just want to make them proud. And I've heard this so many times, you probably have heard this too. And I'll say, you know, I love watching my boys, when my kids do stuff that they enjoy doing, whether it's baseball or whatever, and you see them, they have a good game, they get hit. It's fun. It's great. I'm proud of them. Great job. But I know in my heart, that compared to the day I get a chance to baptize one of my children and see them faithfully walking with the Lord, there's nothing that will make me prouder than to see my children make that decision in their life and then walk that out faithfully. That is the greatest thing. And sometimes for children, you can think, I think the world can mess with us. Get you thinking something else is going to make mom or dad proud. And it's true, small things. I'm not saying that. I tell my children, I can see it in their eyes. Go up to bat, and they literally will turn and look at me between each pitch. See, it's the heart of a child. You're just there. You're the encourager. You're doing great. Hey, love that you were swinging, whatever. And I'm great with that. I love that. I love that they're cheering. children are looking to the parent, you see it. But I also want to teach my children what ultimately in this life matters most. And the greatest thing in this life is serving Jesus Christ. The last thing I wanted to is just aligned with that. I just copied and I've got a section from Proverbs chapter 23. I'm going to read you if you wanted to turn there and follow along, you can. Proverbs 23 verse 15 is where I'll start. There's obviously the famous, well, more famous, it's kind of familiar passage of Proverbs 31. And at the end of Proverbs 31, it talks about how the husband and the children rise up and bless her. Bless the mom. And I think that's another great one. Just a challenge to us is how often do we rise up and just bless our mom? But this is a passage that talks a little bit more about, maybe a little bit more to the heart of. At the end of this, it says here, I believe it's in chapter 23:25, I believe is the verse. It says, let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. And so how is it that we can walk? You hear that verse, it says, let your father and mother be glad, and let her who gave birth to you rejoice. So you kind of have to back up and get the context of where that verse came from. So that's why I'm picking this. So I'm starting in verse 15 of chapter 23, Proverbs. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad. And my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son or daughter, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine, or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe one with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Guard your hearts against that. Guard your hearts against the enemy. You recognize the schemes of the devil. The devil is there to always, there'll be times, and I can think of this in my own life before I made the decision to serve the Lord, where my mom, and I'm incredibly grateful, my mom said things to me that were hard, that I didn't want to hear because I wasn't walking with the Lord. And she challenged me on things where she could see that I was making bad decisions. And yet, what's the devil there to do in those times? Cause you to perhaps resist your mom, despise your mom. Be on guard against the schemes of the devil, who is there to turn you against your parents and make you think somehow they don't have your best interest in mind. Are your parents perfect? No, there's no perfect parents. But every child in this fellowship is growing up in a home with parents that have a longing to serve the Lord and to see you serve the Lord. So I would say there is great safety in their counsel. Great safety in their counsel. And I would encourage you in that. And I encourage you to be on guard because the devil is always there wanting to separate husbands and wives. If you don't think that the devil is also working between husbands and wives, he's always working between husbands and wives, seeking. We have to be on guard, and we have a Savior who is greater and can cause us to overcome. So it's not we have to be fearful of it, but we can be cognizant of it. But also being cognizant that the devil is working to separate children from parents. What does it say at the very end of the Old Testament? It says he's going to restore what? No, it doesn't say mothers here specifically, but restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Why would you need to restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers if they hadn't been some type of a separation? Right? This was actually God saying, this is one of the things in sending Jesus Christ. Right? is to restore those bonds within a family. So I just warn you, right? Why it says here, do not despise your mother when she is old. Just so you know, we don't see ourselves as old. We just, it's in your eyes we're old. right? Don't despise them. I warn you of that, because the enemy will be there to try and bring it about anyway. Here's a great one. Buy the truth. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. When it says, buy the truth, or buy truth and do not sell it, get wisdom and instruction and understanding. What is truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Buy Jesus Christ. How do you sell Jesus Christ? How do you buy Jesus Christ? Let's start there. How do you buy it to the children? How do you buy Jesus Christ? There's a purchase price. It says it's a free gift, but there is actually a price. It comes back to the very thing we talked about. Jesus said, if you want to buy Jesus Christ, if you want to buy me, it's an exchange. My life for yours. My will for yours. Right? Denying ourselves. We say, Lord, I will give you my will. I'll give you my life in exchange. You come into my life. You be my life. This is how we buy the truth. How do you sell the truth? Buy the truth, buy truth, and do not sell it. We sell truth. Paul talks about this actually in Romans. Right? You can actually read about it there. But I would say the simplest way that we sell it is when we start to listen to the lies of the enemy and all the deception that's in this world that says, you know what? There's other things that can satisfy. And we sell, we don't even realize what we're doing. We don't realize that we're selling Jesus. But what we do is we start to go after other things in this world to try and find our life. And when we do that, Jesus says, you can't have me and have the world. So we don't realize, the devil tells us, you surely shall not die. We don't realize when we start to try and have both, we try and have Jesus and all that this world offers, we don't realize that we're actually doing what this says and what your mom is longing you would not do. Your mom is sitting there saying, buy truth and don't sell it. Don't go after the things of this world. Don't listen to the deception and the lies of the enemy that something in this world is going to satisfy more than Jesus. In most cases, probably many of us can stand up and say, we have been down that path. And we know from personal experience that it leaves you empty and longing. And that the only satisfaction we've ever found in our lives, we found it when we came to Jesus Christ and we gave our lives for him. We made that exchange and we said, I bought the truth. I've had people tell me, try and convince me that I should go back. They don't realize it, but they'll say, oh, you should watch these movies again and these types of things. All I can think is I've been down that path and I know the end of that way is destruction. And so I just encourage you, children, buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy Jesus Christ and don't sell it. I know it's Mother's Day. I haven't forgotten it's Mother's Day. Now I'm speaking to the kids. But I come back to, what is the greatest gift you can give your mom? The greatest gift you can give your mom is to serve Jesus Christ with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Moms, thank you for all that you do. I'm so grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for the other moms in this fellowship that can be an encouragement to my wife, because I know all you do in your homes. And so we bless you. I'm thankful for my mom and my mother and all that. But I just want to say that we want to honor you today and at the same time encourage you to continue to press on in serving Jesus Christ and raising your children in the ways of the Lord, and that there is a hope, and that we will all rejoice. All heaven will rejoice when one sinner repents, when we see children in this fellowship serving the Lord, and we get a chance to see that, and we're incredibly grateful. So we encourage you, we're grateful for you, and I hope each one of us is encouraged to continue to press on, follow that example of denying ourselves, taking our cross and following Jesus, and having our hope fixed completely in Him, knowing that as we do that, it can have an impact on others. Maybe we can have an impact on another child in this fellowship. It isn't even our own, but that's the beauty. People could see Jesus Christ. I think that's a longing, too, of every mom, right? It isn't just, it's that as you go about your day and you lay your life down, that your children can grow up, and as they get older, can reflect on and actually come to realize all that you're doing for them, and to then go, you know what? She did it with joy. She did it with life. I want to have what she had. That's the hope. We encourage you in that. And that's the hope for all of us. That's not intended to be. People, I think at times I've heard Proverbs 31 can be a burden. You look at that and feel like it's this bar I can never attain to. But the reality is, you know, like all of us are seeking, all of us have a bar. That bar is Jesus Christ. And we all have a hope that He lives in us and He can make us more like Him. Right? And so as we do that and the life of Jesus Christ shines brightly in our lives, that's the hope each of us has, that the children will see it. In this case, we talk about the children because that's so much of what your interaction is as moms, but that they'll see it and one day you can hear, but what is it you have? That I need to have what you have. Thank you for all that you do.